Now, the Democratic National Convention begins tonight. While the four-day event was supposed to take place in Milwaukee this year, it's mostly moved into the digital realm because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. This year's convention will officially name former Vice President Joe Biden as the Democratic Party nominee for president, and California Senator Kamala Harris joins him on the ticket as vice presidential candidate. Tonight, a number of big-name guests will deliver remarks, including former First Lady Michelle Obama and former presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders. Democrats aren't the only ones on the agenda. Republicans like Meg Whitman and former Ohio Governor John Kasich are making appeals to GOP voters to vote for Biden over President Trump. Ashley Koenig is an assistant research professor and director of the Eagleton Center for Public Interest Polling at Rutgers University. Ashley, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks, Rob. Hi from New Jersey, and hope you're staying well.
Pretty good so far, thanks. Now, how, in a normal year, how big a deal are these nominating conventions? Do they really give momentum, whatever that is, to a candidate?
You know, these conventions are typically all about pomp and circumstance. You have the rallying around the candidates. You have the live audiences. You have the cheers and applause that even viewers at home can really feel the reverberations of and connect with the candidates in that way. It's a lot of emotion. It's a lot of grandeur and celebration. And we typically see some polling bounces and bumps after these conventions. But we're in unprecedented times. And just like everything in the past several months, these conventions will be unprecedented themselves. We typically are used to, you know, these are in-person events since the dawn of conventions. So to have them not in person is such a radical shift.
So what are you watching for as we have this effectively unprecedented, mostly virtual convention?
You know, I think one of the big things to watch for is how seamlessly these conventions may go off virtually. And we still, you know, it'll be interesting, especially to see what the Trump administration decides to do and what the Trump campaign decides to do for next week. But Biden's campaign seems to really be focusing on showing responsibility and leadership by going entirely virtual. And they have been planning to go virtual for some time. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out and how they take that, for lack of a better word, awkwardness away by not having any type of crowd. And they're trying to fulfill it with musical segments and virtual watch parties and blending in people from all 50 states as well as the territories. So I think a big thing to watch is how well do these actually work? Are these conventions going to be a success?
We are talking about the Democratic National Convention starting tonight, a little bit in Milwaukee, mostly online. Ashley Koenig is with us from Rutgers University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you going to be watching some or all of this convention? Would you have gone in person to participate, to protest? Did you visit President Trump when he showed up in the state today? What do you think of his counter-programming? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ashley, let's talk about the messaging from Democrats. A lot of polling seems to show that, you know, a substantial amount of Democratic support for Joe Biden is people wanting to cast a vote actually against President Trump. Do you think they're going to be focusing more on attack or kind of laying out their own vision?
So there is definitely an enthusiasm gap with these candidates. Those who are supporting Joe Biden are supporting him because, like you said, it is a vote against Trump instead of an enthusiastic vote for Biden himself. And, you know, even though we've seen him as vice president and as senator, America doesn't really know who Joe Biden exactly is yet. So this convention is time for him to paint that picture and for other speakers to paint that picture. But much like he's done throughout his invisible campaign, as a lot have been calling it throughout the last several months, you know, this is really a time to stick it to the current administration for the Democrats in terms of trying to rally the base against Trump, knowing that that's the motive that's been working, knowing that that's what voters want to see, and not necessarily coming out for Biden. So it could be a 1-2 punch of Democrats trying to do a little of both, trying to present the candidate in a very favorable light and trying to get more people enthusiastic and eager to vote for Biden himself. But they know what works clearly. And what works is, you know, they believe Trump doing what he's doing day in and day out and making voters want to vote against him.
We had this weird 2016 election where, if I recall correctly, Ashley, we had two of the, I guess, least liked presidential candidates in the history of elections running against each other. And on election day, a lot of it was people deciding which one they disliked least? Do we have any kind of repeat of that going on this time?
You know, it could be, but now Trump has a full term under his belt. And like the Biden campaign is banking on, that could be motivation. When voters get angry and when they're frustrated, that's a huge motivation for them to turn out into the polls. And like we said, the Biden campaign can be playing into that, you know, and instead of, you know, trying to rally enthusiasm around their own candidate or around the party, it's really who he's up against. It's, you know, the lesser of two evils, as we always seem to say every election cycle. So, you know, both candidates aren't starting with a blank slate here. You know, we obviously know Biden has had a long history within politics, and now we've seen what the Trump administration has done throughout one term. So it's a slightly different scenario than it was in 2016.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous on the part of establishment third way Democrats. The corporatist wing that runs the DNC, the old DLC crowd, that are, you know, they got Kasich speaking longer than the squad put together. So they're slapping the face of independent progressives and other people, and they're showing that they're trying to do the thing Schumer did back in 16, is to appeal to the suburban Pennsylvanians. That's what talking about then. And
John, I'm going to jump in. Thanks a lot for that call. John saying, hey, too much outreach to Republicans, including having Republicans at the convention, not enough satisfying the progressive wing of the party, Ashley.
Yeah, you know, I think this is all about strategy and very, you know, very particular strategy that they're doing here. And even Sanders himself has come out and saying, like, the number one thing is beating Trump for the party right now, and worrying about progressive issues and addressing progressive issues later. And so I think it's no mistake who we see speaking and how much time we see designated to those speakers. You know, I think this is all about beating Trump and doing whatever they can to beat Trump.
Thanks a lot for that call, John, at 800-642-1234. Ashley, I know you look at polling and the latest news of what's going on. There's a fire hose of polling, national polls, battleground polls, state polls, that sort of thing. What are you watching most closely right now?
You know, I think in 2016, we saw that the national polling was pretty much on the money, and the problem came actually from the state polling. And as a state pollster myself, you know, there's a lot of issues that go on with state polling in terms of funding, the frequency, the credibility, the methodology of these state polls. And a lot of the problems and the historic errors we saw with state polling back in 2016 stemmed from states simply not having the budget, whether a center within the state or some other type of polling organization, to properly or more frequently poll states, particularly those states where we saw some stunning losses for Clinton. So I would say, you know, I'm always a fan of looking at the averages, the polling averages. And the national polls do indicate the mood of the electorate overall and some general trends. But it's really important to watch out for those state polls, because we know that they're the best reflection of the Electoral College and how we actually determine who wins.
We're getting a preview of the Democratic National Convention kicking off tonight. It was supposed to be in Milwaukee. It's turned into a mostly virtual event. Ashley Koning is with us, assistant research professor and director of the Eagleton Center for Public Interest Polling at Rutgers University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the convention? Do you have thoughts on it? Are you going to be watching it for inspiration? Are you going to hate watch it? If you're on the other side, let us know. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about the Democratic National Convention kicking off tonight. Ashley Koning is with us from Rutgers University, and you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions about the convention. If you've ever been to one of these things, what's it like? What are you watching for as it goes mostly virtual? Call 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, I want to give a listen and get back to something that our caller John mentioned, the presence of Republicans talking. John Kasich, former Ohio governor, Republican, he's talking in favor of Joe Biden. Here he is talking to NPR's Steve Inskeep about that.
What I'm trying to do is essentially to tell people that, you know, the party doesn't have to be your master. You can feel free to cross the aisle and vote for somebody else. That's not some terrible thing to do. In fact, if you see somebody you like and you respect, it's what being an American is all about.
So, Ashley, hearing him and other Republicans speaking in favor of Joe Biden, is there an audience for that? Is there a group that might be swayed, do you think?
You know, this election is all about winning at the margins, and it's all about turnout, right? So it's a game of turnout. We saw how much this hurt Clinton with certain voting blocks back in 2016. And we do know that there are a lot of swing voters, independent voters, voters in these battleground states that may or may not appeal to, especially, you know, John Kasich portrays himself much more as a moderate Republican. And a lot of the Biden camp has been hoping to sway what they're calling these Biden Republicans. And we've seen in polling recently that he is chipping away at that suburban vote, especially with suburban white women that are key voting blocks, frankly, that he can take away from Trump.
Let's go back to our callers. Margaret is with us in Milwaukee. Margaret, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your guest's last comment, because I grew up in an evangelical conservative Christian home. And over the course of my life and my career, have begun to identify more with the Democratic Party, but I still have strong pro-life values. And the Democratic Party continues to support very extreme abortion measures that is really isolating for individuals like me. And about a third of people who consider themselves Democrats also consider themselves to be pro-life. And I don't know if I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm not voting for Trump, but even though I voted for Hillary Clinton last election, I don't know if I'm going to vote for him because of what the Democratic Party or the DNC is saying right now about abortion.
Margaret, thanks so much. Interesting perspective there. And Ashley, when it comes to politicians in either party, the, I guess, pro-life Democrats or the pro-choice Republicans, they used to exist, and now they mostly don't, right? At least among the elected officials.
Right. I mean, we've seen such hyper-partisanship and polarization between the two parties there. I mean, when we look at measures of Congress, we do not see virtually any overlap in terms of ideology between Republicans and Democrats. It's a really, unnerving sign of the times, for lack of a better word, for what we see in on social issues like this, in terms of pro-life versus pro-choice. You know, that issue in particular is something we don't really see as one of the top issues, given everything that's going on. In fact, social issues, with the exception, obviously, of racial injustice and inequality and diversity, we don't really see playing a huge part in this campaign. It really comes down to the pandemic, the protests, and the economy. But I think that's what the Biden campaign is hoping to portray with speakers like Kasich, when we're talking about, you know, Biden could be for kind of the every person and appealing to different groups. And I think that's why we see the strategy of shying away from going towards the progressive wing more and trying to incorporate voters of various different backgrounds by showing things like he's very careful in his words in terms of whether, not saying defunding the police, in terms of supporting fracking and, when he was talking with Pennsylvanians. I think there's a very strategic method that the campaign is approaching in terms of how they're portraying him to the general public.
Thanks for that call, Margaret. We'll go now to Allison in Stoughton. Allison, hi.
Hi there. Hi. I was calling just something that your guest said a little bit ago, and I'm not sure if I heard it right, but it was something about an enthusiasm gap for Joe Biden, that it was really more a vote against Trump. And I guess where I'm going with that is I feel that, you know, I'm a progressive Democratic voter, and I supported somebody else in the primaries, but I felt there were a lot of candidates running for the nomination that I could definitely support enthusiastically. And Joe Biden is one of them. I feel that he's got the experience. He has been there before. And I feel that Trump has made a mess of things. And I feel that Joe Biden is going to have the experience to be able to fix that, even if he's not the most progressive candidate. I'm just wondering, because the other Democrats I know also are enthusiastic about him, and I was wondering if there is certain data that you have that's saying that people are just voting against Trump, or did I misunderstand that?
Allison, thanks for the call. Ashley?
So I think we've actually seen some studies, including one by Pew Research Center, that have come out recently talking about this enthusiasm gap. And those who are voting for Trump are much more enthusiastic about Trump and voting for Trump as opposed to voting against Biden than Biden supporters are the other way around. So in other words, Biden supporters are more so voting against Trump by voting for Biden and are less enthusiastic. So that's been emerging in a lot of the polling recently, despite Biden's large lead in a lot of polls with Trump. And you know, I think that's the interesting thing about polling, that we know on an anecdotal level, and I get this all the time, we poll statewide in New Jersey, we know on an anecdotal level from various people, oh, well, I feel this way, I don't understand how anybody could support that person, or how anybody else could feel the other way. But when we look at polling overall, it shows us the patterns and trends of everybody, because polling is supposed to statistically represent whatever population it's analyzing. So if we're analyzing the general population or the population of Joe Biden voters, you know, we may get a different picture than what somebody knows or experiences anecdotally. But that's also why it's important for us to look and break things down by certain demographics to see where trends go and how they match up to the overall base or population that we're looking at and how they may differ.
Thanks a lot for that call. And Ashley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. I appreciate it.
Ashley Koning is an assistant research professor and director of the Eagleton Center for Public Interest Polling at Rutgers University. She joined us today to talk about the Democratic National Convention. It starts this evening at 8 p.m.